All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, January the 26th, 2043. This is the show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and the panel tonight is Analog, RU486, BSV, and Foxwolf. So it's like IHN, but only with the good people. So...
Oh, burn.
Smack in the face.
Great. Yep. I'm going to have no one on my fucking show this week. Thanks, man.
I'm no, assuming
you'll have
they
us, the good people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's so easy when we've got RU on just to make comparisons. So, yeah. Anyways, moving right along. First story up. And yeah, I spent all day at work with this one. Well, a good chunk of all day at work with this one. Symantec is saying not to use their product. I've got a story here linked off Ars Technica where the meat of the story was Symantec pointed customers to a white paper that recommends disabling PC Anywhere. That's right, turning it off, unless it is needed for business critical use because malicious users with access to source code could identify vulnerabilities and launch new exploits. This is the Anon, they hacked Symantec and got a bunch of their source code shit. At this time, Symantec recommends disabling the product until they release a final set of software updates that resolve currently known vulnerability risks. For customers that require PC Anywhere for business critical purposes, it is recommended that customers understand the current risks, ensure PC Anywhere 12.5 is installed, apply all relevant patches as they are released, and follow general security best practices discussed herein. In other words, use VNC. It's cheaper.
Wow. What a fail.
Yeah, and I've actually got a link to the patch here, so if you are using PC Anywhere. On Monday, January 23rd, Symantec released a patch that eliminates three known vulnerabilities affecting customers using PC Anywhere 12.5. running on Windows, because, you know, it runs on so many other things. Available patches are planned and for release during the week of January 23rd for 12.0, 12.1, 12.5. Symantec will continue to patch issues as needed until a new version of PC Anywhere that can address all known vulnerabilities is released. In other words, they don't know how many vulnerabilities they're going to find, so they're just going to keep onesie-twosieing until they get done rewriting it.
Scrap the hardware, update it, and give everybody a free copy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it would be really cool. It'll never happen. But could you imagine if Symantec just said, well, the source code's out there, so here you go, and just, you know, open sourced it?
That'd be great. It. I mean,
well, you know. It'll never happen, but they're claiming it's all stuff from 2006 anyways. So
claiming.
Yeah, but, I mean, how much has some of this stuff really changed, right? But if you think about it, it's like, well, the source code's already out there, and the hackers are claiming they're going to use it for all malicious purposes. Be like, you know what? Great. We've just GPL'd it. Here you go.
Yeah. Sorry our software sucks, but we still like money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But if they open sourced it, imagine how much better it would be like overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, instant.
So, yeah, this next one, I spent all day dealing with Symantec crap. I'm not pleased with them. Moving right along. Rocket snail, so to speak. Video game companies are getting worse. This one is a link off Xbox 360. It's off IGN. Okay, it's 360 news from IGN. Rumor has it that the next generation Xbox may limit exactly what kind of games you're allowed to play. According to species... need more coffee. According to sources speaking to Kotaku, the Xbox 360 successor will have some kind of anti-used game enforcement. There's no explanation of what that means, but speculation surrounding the issue says the console could outright reject used games altogether. Online passes are a recent staple of having in staving off used sales, limiting what used buyers can access as a protective measure for publishers, much to the chagrin of parts of the gaming industry. Chris Kohler of Wired argues that the death of the used games is inevitable, and passes are the first step towards something exactly like a native anti-used game something integrated into consoles. He notes, of course, that that digital is the future of buying games, and in the meantime, we might be looking at an interim period where discs are a delivery method, but games are more like PC games, which are sold with one-time use keys that grant a loaner a license to play the game on his machine. So pretty much they're saying they want to put Steam on the Xbox and not let you sell the discs on a secondary market.
That's cute because it's worked so well in the PC market. Hey, look, we DRM'd the shit out of your game. Lols, why you pirate?
Yeah. Hell, we've had the conversation on the show that I'm
DRM is why you pirate.
I'm ready to go back to piracy because of the freaking DRM. The actual DRM is so fucking bad and bogs your machine down. It's just like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just go to the Pirate Bay and get what I want. It's cheaper.
Man, I'm bleeding. My balls are bleeding for this.
You were supposed to get that looked at.
This makes me so insane, man, because a lot of people can't afford brand new games, man. The secondhand market's where it's at.
Well, shit, I love the old secondhand stuff. I mean, I never bought any of my I have an original Xbox that I've modded. I used it for all kinds of stuff. I never bought any of the original games for it new. Everything I have for that thing's secondhand.
Also, one thing. Well, they didn't quite cover how it would work, but... So, what happens if your old box dies?
You gotta buy all your games again.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody will be happy about that. Because how stable was the original Xbox 360?
That's true. Oh, here's another fun thought. Most consoles are trying to position themselves, at least like things like the Wii, as party games. Like, you know, game having lots of people over there playing the games, right? Well, I don't know about you guys, but back when I was doing console gaming hardcore, that was one of the things, was to, you know, have everybody show up at somebody's house and everybody bring their best games, because not everybody had the same games, right? So you'd have one person bring Mario Kart, and somebody else would bring, I don't know, Zelda or something. I can't remember actually now.
But you'd rock over with about 10 cartridges or CDs, depending how old you are. Like I am, cartridges, shit, or tapes, cassettes,
tapes. Oh my god,
parts.
Someone needs a prostate check.
I mean, this is just going to destroy like. People like Gamefly or like any of these other places that are still renting games. Like, I think Blockbuster Media, I think that's what they do now.
Well,
I haven't been into a Blockbuster store in like a decade, but
I guess I don't understand what the problem with the secondhand market is. I mean, are they just seeing sales going on and going, oh, we're not getting our cut? That's not right. It's like, well, you've already got your cut. That game's been sold once.
Yeah. And I mean, like, no. I don't think that's going to go anywhere. I think GameStop. In and of itself will, I mean, the game Nazis will put them in the gas chamber for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because GameStop likes money too.
Yeah, but they're shutting down, man. I'm seeing the death of them everywhere in my community. We call EB Games here, but they're slowly dying out.
Well, Steam is killing them.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the PC market, like, they've been dead for years, but for the console market...
Console.
That's true.
Mainly, that's where it's all coming from. That's what this is going to affect. I mean, nobody really does any like rent to own PC games or, you know, resell them like that. Just because, okay, I'll buy the game from you. I'll take it home. I'll rip a copy of it, and then I'll sell it back to you.
Yep.
They can't do that as easily with Xbox games.
Depends on when you got into the Xbox stuff. It's fairly easy today for Xbox, unless you're talking 360. That's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, it keeps your common retard that shops at GameStop for games from doing anything with them.
Well,
fuck you.
You know,
I said you're common retard. You're not common, are you? You're above average.
I'm one of those random retards.
Yes.
Yeah. But
one of the special ones,
you know, this does kill the whole something we used to do ages ago. This is like back in middle school, and this was for the original Nintendo now and the old Game Boys. What we do is I had a group of friends that we would all of us would get one game, and then we'd all get different games, and we'd just rotate them around until everybody had played everything.
Mm-hmm. We used to do the same thing, man.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great way to get a chance to play some of this stuff without having to, you know, spend hundreds of dollars on, you know.
Well, I don't know what your country's like when it comes to pricing of games, but Australia is the single most expensive place in the world to buy games. A brand new Xbox or PlayStation game will run you $109.
That's insane. That's what it,
Yep, that's what a brand new one's worth, $109. And I think $48 of that is tax.
Well, that sounds about right.
Yeah, entertainment tax or something like that. So yeah, this is going to really cripple the. It's another case of those who have money get to have the fun, you know. Down in the slave pits for you, poor people.
I guess. I mean, I'm not really into consoles that much anymore. Everything I do these days is pretty much on PC. But I just, I tell you this, it's sad to see him going this far with this kind of stuff. It's like, no, you shall use this in the way we decree, and that is it. And it's just like, you know, what happened to the whole, you know, once, okay, you've bought it, it's yours.
No way, man. License, dude. On selling, what if you're selling it? What if you're using it in a manner that we never saw fit? You know?
Yeah, I got something else on this too later in the show. What were you trying to say, Analog?
I just think that so many of people are starting to basically mod their Xboxes, their Wiis, whatever, to have every single game available, and so they're not buying it. So that's why a lot of these companies are going this route. While I don't necessarily agree with how they're pursuing to stop people from doing what they're doing, you know, I understand their method behind it, and it makes sense.
Well, you know, Analog, you and I especially have gone back and forth over and over again about what's greed and what's self-interest.
Right.
This is greed.
I disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah. I mean, on some level. On some levels, I do agree. It is greed. But, again, I think that what they're trying to accomplish could be accomplished in a more fashionable way.
Oh, that's yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you got things like Steam and iTunes. They lock it to an account, which I imagine that's what they're actually going to do is lock it to your account, not lock it to your console. Because just like BSC said, you know, you get Red Ring of Death, and if you lose several hundred dollars worth of games, that's not going to fly.
Yeah, right. And if you had a Steam like environment, that would work, and I think people would be more accepting of a situation like that. And
yep.
You know, it comes down to, you know, Steam does like their sales and all that stuff. So I mean, you'll get all these companies that want to make money. So they'll go back to the whole greed thing, and you know, then it becomes, you know, the argument that we always have. So
yeah, that's true.
What go ahead, what if you're nowhere near a connection? So suddenly I don't have my games because I can't get online.
No. You can download them. I would say you'd be able to download them, and then they're locked into your console, but they're also locked to your account.
So. And the amount of trouble I have with Steam when they go down or I can't get online with them, it's just ridiculous.
Right.
I'm just talking about from my standpoint here on the other side of the planet
where
the internet's not so stable.
Yeah.
Well,
you're absolutely right.
Yeah, none of us like the whole you have to be online all the time to play a single-player game aspect. And now, with consoles, though, that's not quite as big a deal because, generally speaking, you set up a console in your home entertainment center and you leave it there, so you're going to run it in the internet line and just be done. Things like laptops, that's another story because you get on planes or whatever. And, well, yes, I've seen people play Xbox on a plane. That was something a little bit different. So
that's bizarre, man.
It was bizarre. It was they had one of those clip-on LCD screens, and
that was one of those special retarded ones.
Yeah, that yeah, but that was that was like back in 2001 too. So I don't think it was an Xbox, was it? It was a PS. It was a PlayStation.
Oh, a PS1.
Yeah,
the
PS1 with
really
that little
clip-on
screen, and. Yeah. They had that on a plane, and it was the plane that had the little cigarette lighters, power adapter things.
Yeah.
You know, before they got rid of those, because, I don't know, I guess terrorism or whatever. But
you're not allowed to smoke anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that would suck if your little, the seat you're assigned, the cigarette lighter didn't work.
Oh, yeah, that would suck. Well, no, they'd just be like, yeah, can we change sheets with you? No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Can I use a power outlet? Fuck off.
Sure, you can use my power outlet.
Oh.
That's what she said.
I've got new sound effects.
Can you tell anyone? Can anyone tell?
Yeah.
We're a wacky DJ sound effect show.
Yay! And anyways, you know, because we haven't had enough news about Mega Upload. This one's fun. It's from Torrent Freak. As of today, people are still unaware whether they will ever get their personal belongings back. They're talking about files that people had uploaded to Mega Upload. Not, you know, when they seized Mega Upload, they assumed everything on it was copyright infringement. But a lot of people were just using it as a Dropbox for their personal files.
Yep.
In a response, pirate parties worldwide have started to make a list of all the people affected by the raids, and they are planning to file an official complaint against U.S. authorities. The widespread damage caused by the sudden closure of Mega Upload is unjustified and completely disappropriate to the aim intended, they announce. For this reason, Pirates of Catalonia, in collaboration with Pirate Parties International and other pirate parties, have begun investigating these potential breaches of law and will facilitate submission of complaints against the U.S. authorities in as many countries as possible to ensure a positive and just result. This initiative is a starting point for legitimate internet users to help defend themselves from the legal abuses promoted by those wishing to aggressively lock away cultural materials for their own financial gain. Legal experts and citizen rights groups have taken an interest in the issue as well, Torrent Freak learned. The pirate parties are the first to make an inventory of the damage, but not the last. And this does raise a really interesting point. There was a lot of you know, personal content up on Mega Upload. It was, you know, shit where people had were working on data sets that were too big to email around, and so they were using things like Mega Upload and RapidShare and Dropbox to move it around between machines or between colleagues working on projects. I know several people who were using it to move source code and images around because it was an easy place to zip something up and just, you know, get a URL on it so somebody else could download it without having to have a web host. So
I lost files. Yeah. I uploaded files that I want. Well, I use Mega Video, Mega Upload mainly to transfer files from, because I'm not allowed to take a USB device or anything and plug it into the network at work.
Right.
It's just, you're just not allowed to do it, man. They're worried about file theft and stuff like that, and
yeah, breaches. Data exfiltration and incoming viruses. No, it's a perfectly legitimate thing if you're actually trying to build a secure network to limit what.
Well, they're more worried about patient files being stolen and misused and things like that.
Right, but that's a legitimate concern. So I don't. It's a pain in the ass. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's also stupid because you can just put those on Mega Upload.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like if you're going to prevent me from bringing in a thumb drive, you might want to put some filtering on your network too. But you know,
I know Kevin doesn't listen to this show, because if Kevin did, he'd be a much better network security guy. Hi, Kevin.
Wow.
Fucking tool.
Wow. But, yeah. I mean, I can understand the limiting of USB devices, but if that's all you're doing, anyways.
Yeah, Kevin's awesome. Hi, Kevin. Yeah, so what are the odds on getting my shit back? And do I actually want to raise my hand and say, yeah, I was using it? Do I want to go on that list?
Probably.
Because it makes them a lot easier. Yeah, because if you've ever uploaded anything dodgy, then and you ask for your decent stuff back, like your legal stuff back, then, well, you've uploaded this, you're fucked.
Well, what about people who similar to TAC, you know, independent musicians who are using it as a way of distributing their stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, that's legit. That's perfectly legit. And that stuff's gone. Now, so if you think about it, there was a lot of personal property on these servers that did it suddenly become property of Mega Upload when you uploaded it? I don't know. I never read their terms of service.
Either did I.
I mean, it could be. I think Facebook has that in there. Anything you upload to Facebook is the property of Facebook now. But
you know, I'm starting to really see why people strap bombs to themselves when Americans are close by.
And that may have been the wrong sound effect. Maybe not. Anyways.
Oh, come on. We'll all be in hell together.
Who's driving the bus? Over. Anyways. It's just frustrating. Where I was going to go with it is if you want to take the argument that there was a lot of people's personal property on these servers and the government just came in and took it because they wanted to prosecute copyright infringement, is that mass theft of people's property?
Invasion of privacy to start
with.
Well,
certainly that. But I mean, do you give up the right to your property and your privacy when you use a service like Mega Upload?
Well, is it implied, you know, that you do with all these? I don't know. I never read the user end agreement.
Well, they usually, these file lockers don't advertise what's on their server. It's, you know, they give you a URL that you can then give out to people you want to give access to the file, right?
Yeah. And what I was understanding, the thing was that you actually had to know what you're looking for, because there was no database or anything to go, oh, I'm looking for a Grand Theft Auto 4.
Well, not an official one. I mean, sure, there's, you know, file crop and shit like that where they had a, you know, they've got a crap ton of it, of forums and boards that they monitor where people are posting links to, you know, whatever.
Man, I'm not that naive to think that there's not a list out there of stuff, but, you know, I wasn't looking for it. I was using it legitimately, so I don't know. Well, I'm not butthurt. I'm just pissed off.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I kind of feel like there's an argument to be said there. Did they seize a lot of people's personal property? But, you know, on the flip side, how do you prosecute a case like this without stealing the servers and therefore grabbing everybody's stuff? And, of course, it's not like you can warn everybody, hey, get your stuff off Mega Upload because we're going to come take the servers. That kind of defeats the point, too.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't know, but there has to...
It comes back to our previous week's arguments of how did you have the authority to do this in the first place?
That's true. That's true. So I think the moral of the story is keep backups.
Well, apparently, but Mega Upload could have been someone's backup solution.
You know, honestly, that's true.
Think about it. It's like, hey, I want offsite backups in case my house burns down. Because having my NAS in my house doesn't do me much good when the entire thing burns down. So cloud storage, it's the wave of the future and shit. Oh, wait, they just raided my fucking server.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I wonder who's next. I mean, is it going to be RapidShare, Dropbox, or, you know, MediaFire? RapidShare. Probably RapidShare.
I'm betting RapidShare because they're the next biggest one.
So. I think they might be just testing the waters with Mega Upload and seeing what kind of fallout they get from it. And if it's not anything they really give two shits about, they would probably move on.
Well, then of course there's what FileSonic did, which is completely reworked. It's like no, you can only move your own personal files with it, which for some people that's probably all they want. But I mean,
it's sad that they got that quick, you know, panic response from another company, because you know that's exactly what they're looking for.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm still waiting to hear what happens. They keep denying. .coms, whatever his real name is, bail. He keeps trying to get a bail, and they keep saying, yeah, no.
What? But he didn't kill – he hasn't killed anyone.
Well, that's the thing. There's been some great posts going around about people getting more time in jail for copyright infringement and posting things online than there was a great one going around that you would get more jail time under SOPA for posting Michael Jackson's songs on YouTube than you would for murdering Michael Jackson. So it's like, really, there's something out of whack here. So
should I have a crack at killing Michael myself?
Just kill Michael and all the songs
and you know this is recorded.
Oh shit, it is?
It's not the first time I've been caught on tape threatening someone's life, man. It's not gonna be the last either.
Yeah, here we go. We got one for that too.
Sorry, man. Every time you play that, it just makes me think of that. What, it's Surprise Chipmunk or some shit?
Yeah. That's what that's from.
Yeah.
The Dramatic Chipmunk?
Yeah.
BSV, we'll show you later. Because obviously you missed that one. Let's see. Next one up we got here is from the Atlantic Wire. Northrop Grumman is developing a next-level drone aircraft that not only flies without a pilot on board, but without any human controlling it from the ground. So these aren't fancy remote-controlled planes. These actually have AI on them.
Nothing could possibly go wrong.
The Los Angeles Times has the story of the X-47B, an experimental plane which could be the first unmanned aircraft system to carry out missions guided only by onboard computers. They would still require a human to program flight plans and targets, and may eventually lead to the future of sci-fi nightmares where heavily armed robots patrol the skies, making decisions and dropping bombs without human interference. Thank you for the elaboration. the heavy use of aerial drones in Afghanistan and Pakistan is already criticized, blah, 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 video game-like experience, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, people pissed about drones. What these drones are is, as opposed to having somebody remotely control them over, like, Satlink or high-power radio, what they're doing is they're just programming the flight plan into them ahead of time and putting it into the plane's computer, so, like, even if something interferes with them, there's no signal to interfere with. They're just going on stored procedure on the computer.
Makes sense.
Later in the article, they're talking about even giving it, like, decision trees. So, like, you know, if X, do Y, that kind of thing.
And this if is, this skin is brown, fire bullets.
This, I mean, this isn't it. This isn't Terminator, but you could see it from there. So,
wow.
I just
nothing bad is going to come of this.
No,
at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
No.
So
what happens if say brown people start using the same technology? Are we going to declare it a war crime then?
No, we'll just declare it an off-flight zone.
America must understand, how's it going to feel fucking... It's going to feel super great for you guys in about 20 years when the brown people you've been bombing the living crap out of have got the technology for unmanned aircraft and shit like that. And suddenly the skies of Washington start filling with drones.
We'll never let them have it.
Oh, wait.
Then
wait, I can buy one off eBay now? I think Iran's got one for sale.
Oh, so I still remember that we did that story last week of Iran was sending us the model that they made of the drone back.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
yeah, this is going to end up well. I'm going to end up doing a few stories, and like, I have nothing to show for this. I'm going to end up in Puppy Chucker Awards, I believe.
So this last one I have is from Gizmodo. And it's, of course, Gizmodo writing, so I've done my best to try to, cut some of the crap out of it, but you know how that goes. Jailbreaking or rooting your phone is pretty much a nerd birthright at this point, but soon it could be once again deemed illegal if the Act's exemption to the Digital Millennium Copyright Act runs out. So they did an exemption a couple years back for jailbreaking phones to the DMCA, and that exemption is about to run out. So, if the exemption runs out, it would be illegal to install a clean version of Android over top of carrier junkware or jailbreak an iPhone so you can download apps outside of Apple's walled garden. Apple fought especially hard to keep jailbreaking on the... off the proprietary... That's not very well written. Let's just rephrase it. Apple worked really hard to keep people from jailbreaking their phones, and we expect nothing less than a conceited effort on its part to stand in the way of an extension to the DMCA exemption. So, pretty much the exemption that allows you to jailbreak your phones and do whatever you want to your consoles, that kind of stuff, is that's coming up for renewal. And they're going to there's companies are going to fight to say, no, you can't do that. It's illegal.
I thought jailbreaking and fucking with consoles anyway was bad.
According to that, Xbox article, it isn't.
I'm getting conflicted stories here, man. I don't know what to do. Help.
Well, there is a certain level of responsibility if you're going to root your Android or jailbreak your iPhone of you are now responsible for your hardware. You're making your own decisions, just like your desktop PC. So I don't understand what the big deal is. So... But
yeah.
But you don't own the tech you buy.
I own the damn hardware. That's mine. I can do whatever. I can make it do whatever I want. That is,
I'll see you in court and make you prove that.
Well, that's the thing. They're doing all this under copyright law, and it's like, I don't understand. If you want to control this stuff, it's called patents, not copyright. You don't copyright a certain circuit. You patent it. But
in other news of old people not understanding technology, they're trying to regulate.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
To go back to your hardware, if it's a cellular device, technically you don't own it until your contract is up. But
yeah,
that's a good point.
No, I understand that one, man, because you're technically on. If you get one of those phones for no money down and $1,000 contract sort of thing, yeah, you shouldn't be able to fuck with it. But
then, the worst they would do is be able to charge you the fee for breaking the contract.
Because that's what you've done.
Instead of suing you.
You're right, BSV, because that's exactly what you've done. You violated the contract. It's a civil issue. It's not copyright at all. It's you yes. broke the contract. So
How does it work when you lease a car and you change something about that? Like, do you void your contract?
You're not allowed to modify any leased vehicle whatsoever.
Yeah, but do you get fucking sued when you modify your leased vehicle?
If you get caught.
Depends.
Yeah, I'd say so, man.
You wouldn't necessarily get sued, but you would get charged the full amount.
Yeah, they charge you lease. A fee or something. Or
yeah, they would charge you the fee of the of
and
how
then
much
if you
the
don't
car would
pay
be.
It,
then you'll
then,
get sued.
Yeah,
but
then
it's,
you get sued.
It's just
it's the same as the phone. So, I mean, you know, if a phone you have that you've modded or whatever you've done to it, and then you don't pay the fee, you're still going to get sued. So it works in both scenarios. I think what it comes down to is that they're trying to push it out over a copy protection, you know, or copyrights or whatever. It's not that. They're again, this is another company going at it at a wrong angle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean that's exactly it. It's, but I mean you look at precedents from other items that are, you know, not digital, so they don't get this little stigma of, oh my God, they're going to pirate and hack and do God knows whatever buzzword they can come up with this week to it. So you get, okay, well, you voided the, you know, the terms of your contract on the car lease.
You void
lease,
your
so.
Warranty. You have to, you know, you probably have to pay a fee, contract cancellation fee. If it's if there's something in the contract about buying the hardware, then you probably have to pay that. But, I mean, if they sue you, it's going to be for the same reason anybody sues you at that point, for not paying your bills, not for...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, I could see that. If it's like, okay, well, you violated your contract for your two-year agreement, so that... cheap ass phones now $500, like the full or whatever the fuck the full price for them are, and you need to pay that.
Yep.
Yeah. Or, you know, if depending on where you are in the contract, you know, how much it would have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Regardless. And I could see them, like, if they didn't pay that, like, okay, well, we'll see you for the amount, but not just because you did something to the phone
that we don't
we're
like.
Going to therefore yeah. sue you for copyright infringement, which means you'll probably go to jail for 50 years.
Well, jailbreaking phones is actually, we'll just use iPhones as an example for now, is costing them money. And the reason being, people who don't know what they're doing are jailbreaking these phones, and then they're turning around, oh, they find a way to get it back to system defaults, and then they still have one little thing that's messed up, and it's not back to factory completely. So they take it in, and then, you know, the Apple store swaps it out for them. There's been many cases like that. So I understand, again, they're doing it wrong, but they're doing it for a right reason as well. It's self-preservation in a way.
Well, okay, but you can if your jailbreak has actually done something to the phone to where it cannot be restored, you didn't jailbreak it correctly. And if you go into the store and like, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with my phone, it's acting weird, and they look at it and it's like, oh, well, you tried to jailbreak it, didn't you? I mean, that's it. He's like, okay, well, sorry, you're done. You violated your warranty. Now, granted, that said, I have a hard time believing that software can violate the warranty, but, you know, maybe if you're getting a low-level driver or something, it's possible.
Well, you got to look at a warranty and what the warranty actually covers, because most of the time it says a limited liability warranties.
Well, it's whatever's required by law. The least amount required by law is usually what they are.
Right, right. But even more so than that, they are very specific in what the warranty physically covers. And then it also says, it also has most of them, I've read a few, most of them actually state to, if you do something to this, this voids your warranty.
Well, it's just like that little sticker they put on that, you know, if you accidentally dunk the damn thing in the toilet, the sticker turns red and they just won't touch the phone.
Right.
So, you know.
Is that only if you put it in toilet water? Let's go live
in... That's every example I've ever seen of that sticker turning red has involved toilet water.
It's okay. Right after I've dropped the Browns off.
Well, the whole voiding a warranty thing with jailbreaking phones, yeah, it'd be the same thing. Like, yeah, I just bought this Honda off you 2 days ago, and when I tried to stick the supercharger on the side, it blew up. Can I have a new engine? Yeah, that's the equivalent of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, if you fuck a phone up, jailbreaking it, stiff shit. Sorry, buddy, you're a dick.
Yeah, right? you were modding your own hardware. I mean, if I'm taking a Dremel to a computer case, and you know, I fuck shit up, I can't take it back. It's like, no, you were taking your Dremel to it. You did this on your own, buddy.
I can't believe jackasses go in and, yeah, do thumb to my phone.
Like, well, it's like, okay, so like right now, when jailbreak's legal, if you brick your phone, do you walk back to the store and be like, something doesn't work right?
Well, some people do, and if you can pass it off that you don't know what the hell's going on, then a lot of times they will cover it for you, just mostly because they don't want to argue with you. It's like, yeah, whatever, and they just do it. You know, it's the employee doing it to get you out of the store.
Does the employee really know? Because, I mean, come on, you've seen some of those employees. They really know that you've been jailbreaking or something's wrong with the phone.
I don't think they know much of anything. They're usually too busy out back with the grass.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say, Analog?
I was just to say the other side of it, too, is kind of where you went with that is the most times the front line people don't know what's going on. And a lot of times they're just there to basically get people in, get people out. And it's a process farm is all it is.
That's true. You know, that reminds me when I bought – I've got a first edition Nook, the original one. And every time you go in that bookstore, Barnes & Noble, they've got – you know, some monkey up there trying to sell you the new ones, right? And I had fun with them last time I was in there. Because, you know, they were pushing on me the Nook Color and the Nook Tablet. And Analog, you jailbroke your Nook Color and turned it into a tablet, right?
Yep. Full Android.
Full Android. How's that working for you, by the way?
It works good.
Good.
I have no problems.
So
I did it with my Simple Touch.
Yeah. But anyways, so, and I've of course rooted my Nook tablet as well, except there wasn't much point to it because it's the old one. You can't really do anything with it. But, you know, you do it just to say you did it. But I actually ended up restoring it because the updated version worked better than the jailbroken version. So, at least on the old one. On the new ones, though, like your tablet Analog, I would probably stick with the jailbreak. But, so anyways, the guy in there, I was going in there to get some other stuff. And the guy in there starts, you know, it's like, hey, have you seen the new Nooks? I'm like, yeah, I've got one. And he goes, oh, well, you know, which one do you have? And I'm like, oh, I got the original. Oh, no, you need this. And so he starts trying to push on me the Nook tablet. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? I could just probably pick up the Color and put Android on it. And you could just see the look on the guy's face. He had not a clue what I was talking about, right? It's like, that wasn't on the glossy checklist. That was not on the glossy checklist. What is this man saying?
Error. Error.
Yeah, you just see the blue screen in his face, right? And he goes, what? Really? And you know, you could tell, okay, at that point, I've got him. He's out of his sales pitch, and I'm talking to the guy now, not his sales pitch. Yeah. So it's like, oh, yeah, no, man, you can take Android, you know, one of the versions for cell phones, and put it on there and get a full tablet. And the guy, you could just see it. He's like, really? I'm like, oh, yeah, Google it. And
my mind.
What's a Google?
Yeah, it's like Google. That wasn't on the glossy checklist either. What the hell? But you know, once
stop rooting their brains.
But it's so much fun to do, and BSV, that is exactly what it is. I'm serious. Once you get them out of that sales pitch mode where you break their script and force them to actually think about what you're saying, one of two things is going to happen. They're going to, you know, immediately dismiss you because now you don't fit into their happy little world, or two, you can pretty much start talking to them as people as opposed to employees or salesmen and start putting ideas in their heads, which is great fun to get the salespeople to start pushing on people. Yeah, you can jailbreak this.
So if you jailbreak your customer assistance guy, is that voiding his warranty as a valid human?
Yeah, we're going to need to send this one back to the manufacturer.
Mm-hmm. Back to the training camps with him. He's not pushing the new iPhone hard enough.
Sir, where did that accent come from? It's like, oh my god, they went. Anyways, about to make a bad joke. Speaking of bad jokes,
Toasty!
That's the wrong button.
Me laugh you a long time.
Anyone want to go in for the blatant racism? Go nuts.
Oh, hello, please. Welcome to Disarixa Digital Dojo. We have a very good special today. Egg roll, a fried rice. It's wrong store. I sorry. I leave.
did that Asian man become a little bit Mexican towards the end?
I'm not
was
sure.
Was that just me?
I was waiting for Windex, sir.
I was raised by cleaning staff, but I also run noodle shop. We need more Windex, though. It's very unbro Windex.
Hey, are you? Guess what you're clipping out later?
Tell me about it, man.
So, Yeah, for Digital Dojo, I got kind of a fun focus here. The first link here is actually a story on Technology Review. They're talking about a company that sets these up. But I wanted to read it because the guy's got a great quote. It's like, most security software defends PCs and websites by acting like a locked door to shut out hackers. A new security company, Myco Software, instead invites hackers in through fake entrances and plays tricks on them until they give up. If you break in, I want to have fun with you, says David Kort, CEO of Mycos. Now the rest of this article, it's a two-page article, goes on basically advertising their company. But I loved that little intro of, you know, if you break in, I want to mess with you. But the concept's been around for a while. They're pretty much called honeypots. But Iron Geek actually has a couple of great articles on his site of what he calls skiddy baiting or script kiddy baiting. And he calls it, skiddy baiting is the art of luring people with malevolent intentions into doing malicious things to themselves. Think of it as sort of being like a honeypot, but geared more towards the personal entertainment value than research. Sometimes folks are feeling mean-spirited, maybe because they've not been given enough love as a child or because they received the wrong type of love. So they start to try to attack your system. And when they check your robots.txt, they hit redirects that take you to the worst parts of, 4chan or Rule 34 or whatever that you really never wanted to see. Yeah, if you ever want to have some fun messing with people, check out some of the links in irongeeksrobots.txt.
I'm already there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, God.
Irongeek.com/robots.txt.
Are you? Remember the Mr. Hands incident.
These aren't quite that bad, but he does make a point with them. And I love the concept of, you know, doing stuff like using linking to make recursive directories on your web server. Like, you know, folders that have a common name so that when they're trying to spider them and iterate over them, you know, they might hit that folder just by guessing at URLs. But then it's got a folder under that, and then a folder under that, and the folder under that soft links back up to the first one.
Yeah, everybody listening right now, go to mylazysundays.com.
Yeah, but
turn your volume all the way up, though. Yeah, turn off volume all the way up.
But that's one thing you can do. Another fun concept I heard, just under the general concept of skiddy baiting, because I love the idea, right, is to take software and put Metasploit payloads in it and leave it up on your web server. Don't link to it. Don't, you know, just put it up in common places where somebody might find it. And, you know, you can do this with, like, office documents, like your passwords.xls, and that has a macro in it that, you know, gives you a Metasploit console on the attacker's machine. Have that scripted so it just goes in and starts pulling up horrific websites or, you know, does the whole joke of deleting their hard drive without actually doing it. Because the one thing you got to keep in mind is, one, somebody legitimate might accidentally stumble upon these things and you don't want to, you know, mess with them too much. You're wanting to mess with people attacking your site, not with people who are just, you know, stumbling around. And two, the way the laws are structured, the attacker could actually sue you for hacking them. So you don't want to be too malicious with it, but you know, you take the Beef, you know, browser exploitation framework, Beef, and throw one of their payloads just on a link on your site that's not linked anywhere, like just a page, to where if they're exploring your site, like say in robots.txt, it's a link, but you know, there's no way to actually get to it through the site, so your users don't accidentally hit it, and it pwns their browser and then starts sending you logs. You know, is that?
I'm really nervous on this Minecraft server right about now. Oh God! Did I get the jar file from you or the major? Oh crap!
So, I just
first of the evening, you picked the right soundbite.
Yeah. You'd think 54 shows, I'd be better at this by now.
Labels, man. Labels.
You know, I have a label maker, and last time I got it out, I was accused of being a little too Batman with the label maker. And I'm referring to the original comics.
Did you label the cat?
I don't have a cat anymore.
It doesn't matter. Did you label the cat?
Yes. Both
you
of
have
them.
Not Excellent. Gone full retard with that label maker until you've labeled eggs in a fridge in a share house.
Okay, I will admit I have never labeled the eggs
I went mental, man. Like, I used to live in a share house with six girls. Yes, that's right. And they would just steal shit constantly. So I went around with the label maker. It took me a whole Sunday afternoon of drinking beer to do this. I labeled everything that was mine with a sticker that says mine. Right down to cups, knives, teaspoons, everything, man, just had mine written on it.
Well, yeah. So anyways, I really enjoy the concept of screwing with people who are trying to screw with you. So I don't know. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that? Or
it's great.
I think it's hilarious.
Well, other than it being hilarious, because that's the idea. But
the only thing you got to do is, like, if I don't know if Metasploit lets you do it, but maybe if you get access to their screen, like what they're seeing.
You could do that. Yeah, it depends on how you're going about it. But if you can get them to run one of your payloads, hell yes, call it.
Oh.
You know, get the Java version of Meterpreter, drop that into a packed executable, and call it adminconsole.jar.
Yeah,
they'll run it.
And, and for some reason, you have to find some way to activate their webcam.
Again, Meterpreter. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, I'm sure it.
I'm not sure you want to see it though.
No, but it would be funny because then 4chan.
And this is why I have put a piece of paper over my webcam and actually colored it in with a marker as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I got one over mine too.
And for those trolls out there, Omegle is still up and not filtering minicams.
Well, that's pretty much all I had for tonight. I put something about case modding in the notes, but we've hit 45 minutes, so we'll save that for next time. And let's see. We've got promos. Of course, listen to the stream, the I Have Nothing show every Saturday. The next Pure Decking will be Tuesday. Hit the Galaxy 15 radio site and Twitter handle. Anybody else have shit to pimp?
Tune in to I Have Nothing this week. We have an announcement to be making. So be there and you'll see what's coming out in the pipe. It's pretty big.
BSV.
If you're in Australia anywhere, follow the fetid smell to RU's mother's vagina and take the tour. They have a whole bus tour that'll take you through there. It's a double decker. Watch out for the bats.
Watch out for the bats. Bat country.
Well, yeah, she's gonna listen one day, man.
Like I care. I didn't even met the bitch, and all the stories I heard, like if I did, I would probably bury my foot in her fucking fuzzy axe wound and then burn my boots.
Wow. All right, BSV, go ahead.
Oh, I have my show on Wednesdays now, the Nameless Review Show 7. And as long as I don't get another horrible disease that would wipe out half the neighborhood again.
Well, stay out of the whorehouses.
It's the Asian bathhouses, man.
Oh, yeah. Stay away from to replenish his dungeon every now and again. Feeding those just as expensive.
So hopefully it'll be on Wednesdays at a regular time at 9 o'clock-ish. So.
Cool. What about you, Analog? Anything to pimp?
Me.
Nice.
He's pimping himself for $5.50 an hour. Great deal.
Yep. With that, we'll be back on Saturday for I Have Nothing. Hey, I wonder if Skype is going to screw up the volume on this again for you guys.
Yeah, we'll find out in a minute.
So are we clear?
No.